The Judeans have now been occupied by the Babylonians, as was predicted, just as Jeremiah told them. Some of them have been taken to Babylon as exiles. Most of those in exile thought it was temporary, and thus the best thing to do was just kind of wait it out. And there was Hananiah and a band of false prophets telling them this, and that they'll be back before they know it. But the truth from the Lord was harder to hear, that it would be 70 years before God would return them to Judah and restore Jerusalem. They would not see home in their lifetimes. Most of them would die in this foreign land with its foreign gods. At this point in history and in this region of the world, most gods, with the exception of the God of Israel, were local gods, local deities. So wherever you found yourself, there are gods that the locals built temples to, worshiped and offered sacrifices to please that god. People expected you to make their gods your gods. So if those from Judah found themselves displaced in a foreign land and surrounded by local deities, what were they to think about their god? Where was he? Still in Jerusalem? After all, he dwelt in the temple there, which would soon be no more. Like children who have moved just before Christmas and wonder if Santa will find them, they wonder if their God will find them in this God-forsaken land, or if God has simply abandoned them. Perhaps it would be better to adopt the local God if they can no longer count on theirs. It's hard to feel at peace when you're displaced. You know, most of us don't even like to not sleep in our own beds. I remember when my parents retired and moved to the lake in Indiana and sold the house in Kansas. And suddenly, even though I hadn't lived there for over 15 years, I felt uprooted. There was no home. I had no home to go to. It's one thing if you're temporarily displaced after a fire or a hurricane. That can be traumatic and devastating enough. But to be displaced and not know for how long or if you will ever return, and to be in a foreign place, had to be so disheartening. And then to think you were there without the protection of your God, and frankly didn't know how to access God. Would he even answer if they cried out to him? My previous call was to a church in Cincinnati that was a merger of a United Church of Christ congregation and a Presbyterian congregation. And I arrived as their pastor 6 months after the paperwork had been signed. And while they were working on renovations in the UCC building before we all moved to it, so we were worshiping in the Presbyterian building. So the UCC folks were temporarily displaced, but the Presbyterians knew the day would come when they would leave and not return. The time came for us to move, and we had our final service in the building of the Presbyterian Church. And of course, in good Presbyterian fashion, you know, there's a whole liturgy to declare the building vacant and blah, 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 blah. It was a painful time, though. It was a time of grief for many of these folks. And at that last service, there were people who had been baptized there or married there, people who'd been confirmed there, who grew up in the Sunday school or had memories of vacation Bible school. And while we obviously could not take everything from that building, I mean, think of combining two households after a second marriage. How many communion tables and baptismal fonts do you need? They had to make hard decisions about what to bring and what to leave behind. What would have meaning for them? And for quite a while, there was still a lot of grieving over what was lost and never would be regained. They felt displaced because this other building did not feel like home to them. And while we worked hard to make sure that we melded customs and practices and cultures, which frankly was the hardest part of the merger, the polities and theologies were easy, they also had to come to terms about things in their lives that would never be the same. And while none of them would voice it because in their head they knew the answer, they wondered if they would ever sense God's presence in this new place. as they had in the old and familiar one. But over time, as funerals and weddings, as baptisms and confirmations and Christmases and Easters came and went, they began to experience God in this space. And when new people were welcomed who did not know about the other time or place, they were a testimony to God's plan for the future of that church. But it happened in God's own time and God's own way. So for a while, they all felt a little adrift. You know, it's hard to sing the Lord's song when all around you, everyone is singing something different. It's hard to find peace when you feel distant, not only from home, but from God as well. So it was no wonder that when Hananiah and that band of false prophets started saying, "This is just temporary, don't worry, it will be all right," they want to cling to that message, because they were telling them what they wanted to hear. Most of us are drawn to messages that confirm our hope or support our opinions. They were no different than us. I mean, if I were to ask people what their favorite verse in the Bible is, I doubt that any of you would say, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You're more apt to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." While Jeremiah does not bring them the happiest of news, they would not see their homeland before they died, what he brought was an authoritative word from God. Yes, it would be 70 years, but when that time has passed, he says, "I will bring your descendants home. I have not forsaken you. This will not be forever. I have a plan for y'all, a plan for your good and not your harm. So since you are here for the duration," says the Lord, "here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to put down roots, plan your life here, build a house, plant a garden, work for the good of the community, join the PTA and the Babylon Kiwanis and contribute to the United Way. No, this isn't your homeland, but these are still your neighbors and where you will be living the rest of your life. So make a life for yourself. Because when you seek me," says God, "you will find me. When you call my name, I will hear you. And there will be a day of restoration according to the plan I have for you all." In other words, this God who had been confined to a temple and to a land was no longer confined, but could be found and would come to them in this strange and hostile place. When it seems all is lost and that God is gone, God finds a way to come to his people, to save them and redeem them and restore them. And each time the plan seems in peril, whether with Sarah and Abraham in their age or Moses in the wilderness or now in this time of exile, God finds a way. Nothing can thwart the plan. Now, sometimes dislocation is less tangible. You know, a church you've been in for years doesn't look or feel like the church we grew up in. This is not my church that I grew up in. When some of the songs are unfamiliar or something that we've always done no longer happens or happens in a different way, we feel a little displaced. We wonder where our place is. And we all have those things in our lives that happen. Sometimes it's even when our body betrays us and we suddenly look in the mirror and say, "Who is this person? And has God forgotten me?" The birth in Bethlehem is another such story. Who would have thought that God would be found in a newborn, a child, or even an adult human just like us for that matter? Just as people were thinking that the Roman Empire and hailing Caesar would be their life forever, God breaks it open and comes to them as one of them, and now comes to us as one of us, because God knows the plans he has for us. And as I told the kids, not just you or just me, for you in the Hebrew is plural here, in spite of what we've done to this to make it, God's got a plan for me in my life. Okay, if you say so. But here, God is talking about, I have plans for the world, for all people, for our life abundant and not harm, for our salvation and not condemnation. That plan has no limits on time or place or what state humanity is in at any given point. God will find a way to redeem and restore. This is a great promise for those who may be feeling out of step this season, for whatever reason. No matter what our life circumstances or where we find ourselves, there's a community, the church, the body of Christ, who walks alongside us. There is a God who will come to us when we call and will hear us when we pray, no matter when, no matter where. When we're feeling dislocated or restless, we can claim the peace of God's promise, the promise that God has come to us in Jesus Christ to gather us up and bring us home again. Amen.